Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Meshe, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. Listeners are invited to call into the show for a reading or with questions and comments. Call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Also, join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat to create a username, register with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Meshe. I'm your host, Michelle Meshe. Woo! I'm so happy to be here on this Wednesday. I'm so grateful. Okay, if the chat looks a little sparse right now, it's because I got logged in a little late today, kind of like at the 11th hour, because I had a wonderful surprise. I got to get into that before let me just say hi to everybody and welcome everybody. I'm getting ahead of myself. Promises to be a great show today, and I just want to say hi, peace out, and love to everyone in the chat that's also my wonderful co-pilots, cohorts, co-conspirators, and my sound engineers that let me know how the sound is, and welcome guests. And it should be easier to get in the chat as it's just opening. It takes a while to register to the front page, but we are here, everybody. We're here every Wednesday for holidays, 12 p.m. Pacific time. And I want to also give a really, really warm, grateful welcome also to everyone that listens to us via the archives, BTR Archives, TuneIn Radio, FM Player, which keeps ranking us top podcast in metaphysics and spirituality. And I want to give an extra little welcome to those people that have been doing their appreciation comments and reviews of Awakenings with Michelle Meshe on iTunes. It really, really means so much. It's helping me to expand the program, the show, to reach more people and to upgrade our outlet. In fact, we've got some things in the works. I'm just trying to figure out how to go to regular radio, but have the chat room. Got to have the chat, right? And I also, it's so amazing how Divine Spirit works. But anyway, I want to thank you. And those of you that haven't done a review of Awakenings with Michelle Meshe, if you would take the time to do it on iTunes, especially if you're already downloading music or downloading movies or watching movies, maybe you got the Apple TV, just flip over to Awakenings with Michelle Meshe. So, call in number. Yes, Crystal Bold is saying, we need the chat. That's right. I told him, I was in meetings, like, no, we got to have a chat. I go, we got to have a chat. We got to do it live. I got to multitask. I got to have the chat. I got to have the email. I got to have, you know, I get texts on my phone, you know, and then I'm on Instagram, Facebook. I go, we got to have it all. I go, we got to keep it snapping. We got to keep it live. So I hear you, Crystal Bulls, Gretna, in the chat. Got to have our chat. So, okay, call in number 347-539-5122 for those of you that don't know or may have forgotten. Please press 1 on your keypad. That lets me know that you want me to pick you to get you on air. I may just pick you anyway, but you know, many of you have heard me tell my little story of how a lot of times people are waiting and waiting and waiting, and we get a lot of callers. Everybody, sometimes we don't get to all of them. Sometimes I have upwards of 50 callers in queue, and you know me, I like to talk, and then we have our guests, and when I'm channeling, when I'm doing a psychic reading, woo, I lose track of time, and you've seen I go off. You know, and then I want to ask people questions and woo. So, but always know, please call back the following week, you know, and for some of you that can't make the show live, you can always email me at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com and we'll answer your questions on air. If they're real personally questions, it's better to call in, but questions that are kind of general to what everybody is going through, or most people are going through, or, you know, and you know what those are. You know, it's just like if Johnny, Jerry are getting, are we going to get back together? Well, it's better if you call in for that, you know. Sometimes if you give me birth dates, I can help because I can, that helps me tune into the energy more, you know, and then, of course, I can always quickly look numerologically or, you know, astrologically, you know, as well. That works as well. So, again, call in number 347-539-5122. So, someone was at, okay, so I was saying at the beginning of the program how divine spirit works. I don't get into trauma, but I do like to share. I do like to keep it real. You know, sometimes I'll say when I'm doing a reading or I'm talking to all of you, I'll say, ooh, I need to hear that myself, or I'm going through this. So I've been going through some little challenges in the relationship department. Let's just put it that way. Getting sorted out. But, you know, if, those of you that are coupled, whatever way you want to call it, if that can happen. And, but this morning I woke up and I was just kind of, you know, brighter day, more connected to myself. I've been doing extra meditation. I always, my go-to thing are my tools. You know, maybe more walks. You know, some of you have heard me, when I'm processing a lot, maybe three walks a day. And come on, Yosh, let's go for another walk. Let's go. You know, I'll go to the beach or there's some paths I like to go walking on or hiking on. And definitely longer meditations. And definitely a lot of time with my guide to the I Ching by Carol K. Anthony, which we've had her on the program. She's a friend of the show. It's a fabulous book. I've studied the I Ching for over 20 years, many different translations. But I like hers because it's a bit westernized. And to me, it's the no BS. You cannot BS yourself with the readings that you get. I do it, you know, kind of old school with the coins. You can do it with the twigs, or you can just open it to any page, you know. Here's what I just got now, just as I'm talking to you. I just had the book in my hand and I opened it. It says, the unstructured mind asks of each new experience, what can I learn from this? To the unstructured mind, life is a teacher. Free of negation, the unstructured, innocent mind remains independent and free. So, anyway, does that apply to us? Applies to me. So, anyway, I want to also say, I got a message from, I'm going to say DJ, Di, that call in, wanted to let me know that just got out of a really toxic relationship and wants to give me a huge hug and thanks for being the voice of reason and love. Just realized I started listening to you in 2007. Still listening as I mix glazes and pug clay. Wow. Great, great, great. And a little antidote from my life mirrored on your words of wisdom. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, you know, we're in a time right now of a lot of beginnings and endings. And ending, beginnings always have some type of ending, or whatever's beginning, there's an ending within it. And what that looks like for each person, it could be even the way you respond to something. You know, that can also be, you know, ending a habit pattern that isn't working for you. Got another little shout out from Angela. Thank you so much. Thanks for helping me navigate through my personal growth process and dealing with my family of origin stuff. I appreciate your compassion and sage spot-on advice. Sometimes it takes a while for advice to sink in and the change to bloom. Angela, that's with all of us. Got to tell you, I'm not exempt. You know. And part of that is, you know, and I want to say to everybody, be easy on yourself because we get things intellectually first. Okay, I was just saying welcome and hugs in the chat. I kind of went off. This is kind of how my morning's been. You know, I constantly, when I have people that I work with, they're like, they say, oh, I get it, I understand this and this and this. But I see they don't get it, they don't understand. And then at some point, they get really upset with themselves, like, I learned this, I know this, I've read this, we've been working on this in our inner work, in our program. And it's like, yeah, you got it intellectually, but to get it to sink into the emotional body, our emotional construct, to respond differently, you know, react differently or not overreact, and then to go into behavior patterns. You know, that's a whole other thing. Anyway, so woke up this morning, and every now and then I'll go on iTunes. Well, actually, I was downloading a song and this morning that I want to use in my yoga practice, and it's something Dial M, Monkey. It's EDM, electronic dance music, but very chill and very zen-y. And then I said, oh, I'm just going to check in on Awakenings with Michelle Mache. And I did, and poof, popped up. New wonderful reviews, and I find it's one of the featured podcasts in our genre on Awakening on iTunes. So thank you all. That's because of all of you, not because of me. It's because of all of us. So I really want to give a really, really heartfelt thanks to everyone. I'm getting a little teary now for co-creating what we've co-created, and it's getting more and more recognized, you know, and even people. For me, that I'm doing TV projects, you know, with as well as potential radio stuff, they are listening. They're looking. Where's the niche? They're like, wow, this is great. People are learning so much. You've got a dynamic chat. People call in, and yet it's funny. It's fun, and you're in it too. You're not taking yourself seriously. It's not really teaching and preaching. It's fun, and you know, and that's what I feel life is, you know, for me about. My whole life is about transformation and living more fulfilled, connected to your soul, joyfully, no matter what's going on in my life, no matter some of my worst times, my deepest, darkest time, I've written the best poetry, flowetry, taken some great pictures, done some great collages, but I felt connected to my inner connection, and I want that for everyone. I want that for everyone. I want you all to have, and everyone in my life that's close to me, I want you to have that connection to your inner core, your true essence, which always feels peace, calm, and joy. So no matter what's going on around you, that you feel that inner connection. Because on the earth plane, you're going to have loss, ups, downs, breakups, get backs together, career change, you know, job change, fired, hired, whatever. You're going to, you know, health. Challenges, you're going to have those challenges. But when you have the esoteric, metaphysical meaning of things, and you have that connection to the all that is through your, you know, your own true essence, and a little humor or a lot of humor makes life very worthwhile. And then you start attracting people that are like that as well, and it gets even zippier. Okay, what is I always got to check on Tamara. She's with sage words of wisdom. Yay, so beautiful. We are cultural creatives. Yes, yes, we are cultural creatives. And that's a whole topic that I'm so into. We are creating some airwaves, you know. And I got to tell you, every guest, maybe one or two have it, but their publicists, people say, God, there's something about your show. They always want to come back. Everybody always wants to rebook. No matter how busy they are, popular, best-selling author, seminarist, traveling around the world, they always want to come back on Awakenings with Michelle Mache. And that's because of all of us, you know. And they all say, God, your chat is so embracing. Or they ask these great questions or feedback or the callers, you know. And a lot of them I find later, they've been listening to the show before they come on, and they're like, oh, I really like your show. It's kind of fun. You know, and I like to keep it that way. And Tamara's putting little by little over many years. I feel it, deep gratitude. Thank you, Tamara. And Crystal Bowles Gretton, I need humor. Yeah, absolutely. Humor. Yeah, you got to have the humor. I mean, now I see why, and I didn't understand it. Like a lot of my Eastern teachers that I studied with, you know, in some little short studies, like the Dalai Lama or Sogo Rinpoche, you know, some of the teachers my Hindu teachers from Siddha Yoga, they had this humor. And I never understood it in the beginning because I thought we were serious. We're meditating. And sometimes, like people, I remember in some of the intensives I would go to, people would ask these questions. And sometimes my teachers, the guru, would just roll their eyes and just laugh. And I'd be like, oh, God, what's that about? Or just karate chop somebody with their answer. But now I see it, because I do feel at some point we do take ourselves too seriously. We have to kind of lighten up. You know, yes, this work is so important, and we're doing amazing work by working on ourselves and extending that out to our family, friends, neighborhood, various communities. You know, those of you, there's a couple of you, you know who you are, have emailed me that you used to smoke a lot of pot. Now you're not doing that. You feel clearer. Those of you that were using drugs or overusing alcohol, you know, or in toxic relationships, you know, I've gotten these emails over, you know, the years and over the last few months, because we are right now in a time really the energies are saying, do it differently, let go of what isn't working, whether that's an approach to a situation, a person, you know. I always say if a person, you know, and there's a whole thing, because that last email, the one email about leaving the relationship, my one caveat is if they're getting help and you see improvement, if they're sticking to it. If they're not, then it's dead weight. Because, as one of the other my teachers, Michael Beckwith, always says, we're all healing. Aren't we all healing? And doing the work that I do, I've been privy to be in the background, you know, this backstage, behind the scenes with some of the most, you know, well-renowned, popular, whatever you want to call it, you know, authors, spiritual teachers. And I got to tell you, they got crap. They got a lot of crap. Usually they have most because they've stopped working on themselves. That's a problem. And the chain of command that I came up through, the, you know, the teachers that I came up through in the programs, the type of counseling programs that I came through, they didn't believe in that. You never stop working on yourself. Don't take yourself too seriously. And you always look at what's the mirror for you in this. What's the mirror for you with this caller? What's the mirror for you with this, you know, client? You know, is there a projection there? You know, so believe me, I had when I was retraining, I had some tough teachers. And let me tell you, one of them in particular, Dr. Hahn, oh my God, I didn't realize it in the beginning. And this is, probably a lot of you can relate to this, especially if you've become counselors or you've done this kind of training. There is a point you're still working on yourself, but you kind of kick back, lean back in your seat, and you think you've got all the answers. You know, you've studied the textbooks, you've had a few clients. You know, now I was going back to retrain, so I was doing, you know, clinicals for further, you know, CEUs, and it's a group of our peers, and you kind of kick back, you start saying, well, I have this case, well, I have this person came to me with this. Let me tell you, he would let you spin, where you're thinking you're the sage, giving sage advice, grand poobah, and then he would just swivel in his seat and say, after you've already gotten 3 feet deep in it, he would go, and how have you done that before? Or have you done this? Or what is this mirroring for you? And then all of a sudden, all the people in the class, the course room, are looking at you. He's like, you can't say, I don't want to answer that. And you can't say it doesn't, because we learned in class that it either mirrors where you were, where you're going, or where, you know, where you are, where you're going. There's some mirroring there. You know, so yeah, camera, oh wow, yeah, that is it, oh wow. And then so, you know, after a few times of being, you know, first of all, when it first happened to me, first of all, I happened to a lot of other people in the class. It didn't happen to me in the beginning, I guess because whatever my stories were. And we did counseling with him, so he knew your stuff as well. That was one of the requisites. You had to have so many hours of your own personal work, and then to come back and retrain you, you know, you had to as well. So, you know, of course, when you're hearing somebody else get skewered like that, you're like, oh, well, damn, you know. But then when it happens to you, I think it happened to me like twice, and then after that, I thought very, very carefully about how I was going to phrase things in the course room, you know. Now, I got to say, when you're channeling, what I'm channeling, not so much psychic, but what I'm channeling, there are things that are not as much of resonance or I could say on an earth level, not at all. But on some level, there has to be, you know. And that's why I tell people that, you know, especially I'm doing the Soul Entrepreneurship Program, which you can find out more information by going to soulentrepreneurship.com. soulentrepreneurship.life or soulentrepreneurship.com, we attract by resonance. So, you know, I was in the TV film modeling world. I've also been a teacher. So I've attracted a lot of professors, teachers. I worked at one point with a lot of dignitaries and, you know, because my lifestyle kind of jet-setting around the world and aristocrats. And so I've attracted those kinds of people. I've attracted in my practice a lot of, you know, celebrities, whatever, A-listers, celebrities, high-profile people. So spirit will do that because when they come to me, I do have on an earth level, I have not only a resonance, but I have an understanding of what they're going through. There's a commonality there. They can't say, well, you don't understand this. You know, I did a podcast the other day for bereavement. Hopefully I get a copy of it. I can post it on my Facebook page or my Awakening with Michelle Mache Facebook page. It was on bereavement because I'm also trained as a bereavement counselor, and we talked about grief. But we did it in such a great way. You know, we talked about communication, how talking about your loss is important. And it's for a podcast that's for skydivers. But we had a really kind of cool, you know, meeting of the mind on it, relaying the info, but in a very light kind of fun way, you know. So there's always something. That's why I get a lot of emails, a lot of people emailing me or Facebook messaging me saying, I tried to call in, but I was at work, or the kids wouldn't go to sleep. I had to, my husband was supposed to pick the babies up from preschool but couldn't, so I had to. I tried to listen, but I wanted to call in, and I couldn't. But then they say, listen to the archive, and somebody else called in, and it answered my question. They had the same issue, or what you told them helped me. So listeners and people in the chat, sometimes you email and say, I'm sorry, I keep calling in. I love it. Call in every week. You know, I love it. It's a little party love fest here. So I love it. It keeps the show dynamic. It's enjoyable for me. I love giving this way, being of service. I love just the call-ins. But it also helps other people that can't call in live and ask the question. Or, you know, a lot of people are working during this time. They try to call in. They say, but, you know, sometimes you can't. And they're waiting online. They don't get online. Or they work in cubicles, and they're like, I can't be asking questions that might, you know, my workmate can hear me. So it's okay to call in a lot of times. Know that it's for you, but it's also for many people as well. All right, we're going to get to callers. We have a great guest coming up, so everybody please hang out with us for the full show. We have somebody that I know personally is a great guy. He's an MC, a poet, and he's an activist for peace. Got a lot of great things going on. He does a lot of work with at-risk youth. Got a lot of great projects, and he's truly what we see the new awakened artist doing is using their art as a medium to reach people, to connect, to share, to uplift, to keep awake. You know, he has a lot of events in the he does events all over the country, but a main event that he does in Santa Monica at this place called Zanzibar. Every Wednesday he has Luminous Movement, and they sell crystals there. It's great. I mean, they have alcohol and all that kind of stuff too, but you don't find, I go there a lot, I don't find a real heavy, drinky, not that I'm against alcohol and my vinos and stuff, but it's not, that's not the main thing. It's just a lovely place people connect and share, and he has a lot of events that, you know, they'll get sponsored with like kombucha tea or, you know, nice elixirs. And his whole thing really is about uplifting, and he's an amazing curator also of other amazing talent as well. I've seen some amazing, amazing musicians, DJs, bands, I mean, from all over the world. He brought one great female singer from New Zealand that I was just blown away by. And sometimes we do meditations, you know. So if you're in the area, you really should check him out. But anyway, he's coming on at the second half of the program, so we'll definitely be chatting with him. And I'd like to get to some callers because I know a lot of people have been emailing me saying I'm going through a lot of loss. This is a time. This We're in a gateway portal of light. We'll have another one May, June. This one will be February, maybe, you know, into January, end of January, February. And that is when there is an implosion of light on the planet. There's more light. So you feel more intensity. Some people handle it by sleeping a lot because they're doing a lot of inner plane work through the dream state, you know, the other state of consciousness or awareness. Some people tell me, oh, my God, I have so much energy. But a lot of what happens is what you need to work on is highlighted, your shadow. What are you not doing? What do you need to do is shadowed. Is the shadows are brought up to the light. The intensification of light, you can feel it energetically. It pushes people to want to make change or need to make change. Or if you're lagging in making changes, there will be some kind of instance, some kind of situation, some kind of awareness or something someone says that pushes you to make those life-enhancing changes that connect you more to your soul. So the gateways are all about consciousness expanding, allowing more light so that we can house more light, be of more light, be more enlightened, be more of the light, and make peace with the dark, which is the unknown, to be in that place of the unknown on the ego level so that the higher self, soul self, can take over. So that higher divine aspect of us can take over, the one that, you know, hasn't forgot its connection. So it's all about soul alignment, aligning more and more to our soul, living more and more authentically. And whatever isn't authentic, whatever is sabotaging or holding you back, comes up in these intensifications, and it comes up personally and collectively as well. I'm going to give that number again. I'll put it in the chat. That's to call in for a question, comment, reading, and that is 347-539-5122, and press #1 on your keypad to get in the queue. So those of you that are in the queue, if you have a question or a comment, please press #1. Let's get to our first caller, 305-300. Welcome. You're on Awakenings with Michelle Mache.
Hey, Michelle. How are you? This is Deanna, and I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, thank you, Deanna. As well to you, and a big hug.
Thank you. That to you, too. That's nice.
Ooh,
you are sweet. Thank you. You are sweet.
Thank you.
And you have helped, definitely. Michelle, I was calling to see if you have any insights about me, if you can channel any messages to me.
Yes. Well, first of all, I got to tell you what I feel energetically, and you're going to love this. You're shifting. You're more coming out. Yes. You're coming out of the dump, the depression. Your energy is... all over me. You are starting to shift, my lady. So whatever you've been doing, keep it up. Look for your spring, April on, is going to start to really rock. And what's going to help you is meditation, focusing on your intuition, developing that more. February, you'll notice something. March, it's just coming. It's like a little bud. There's a lightness. There's a hope that's coming back. And the guides are saying, focus on hope. Focus on hope that things do get better. Focus on hope. Things get better and better. And I feel like, it's so funny you said something about you have help. I do feel someone coming into your life. There's not a man right now in your life, right?
No.
Yeah. I feel somebody... I don't know if it's going to be holidays. Are you around snow at all? What do I see? I see
no,
a lot of white.
Not yet.
Are you?
Not yet.
Are you
I'm
going?
I'm in Florida, but I've been...
You're going around snow.
I've been thinking if I get any kind of funds, I'm just taking off and driving all the way to the West Coast.
Okay,
and that's going to be a miracle for me to receive that, but... I can't wait to do that. I can't wait to go and see sequoias.
Okay, then to see the what now?
Sequoias.
Oh, I love sequoias. Oh, there's snow there.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, that's why, because I'm telling you, I see you in snow. Somehow you're going to make it. I don't know. listen, even if you can't make it all the way, go somewhere where there's the winter, the change of scenery. But I'm kind of hearing you, maybe you will end up somehow getting there because I see snow around you. And almost like a rink or something. I don't know if people are skiing. It's like a sheet of snow. Yeah, something's shifting. You got the spark is coming back where you feel like moving, travel, you know, you feel like getting out there, back out there in the world. And yes. I want to say whatever you're doing, it's working, working, working. The guides are saying keep it focusing on yourself, releasing those patterns, those beliefs that hold you back, you know, moving to the energy. You know, someone asked me the other day because they were saying, oh, you're telling me that not to be angry, I can't be angry. And I said, no, I'm not saying, I love anger. I love all the emotions. Just, there's certain ones we just don't want to stay stuck in, right? So what I see for you, Deanna, process the grief, anger, get it out, oh, why didn't this happen? Speak it, sing it, write it, dream it, draw it, do it, get it out, and then go, okay, new day, new hope, things are turning around, because they are turning around for you, absolutely. And I do feel that you're going to have a relationship. There is a guy in your etheric field. So when I see it etherically, that means it's not far off.
I appreciate that because a couple of people have told me that. And although it seems far-fetched, it's okay in the future. I just need to be able to get up on my own two feet first, walk on my own two feet, so I don't have to run into a codependent situation. I don't want that.
Yeah, well, you're doing that, but your energy is coming up, and with the energy coming up, the health comes up. With the health comes up, you know, it's a full circle, more energy, more vitality, you know, but you will be able to do it. You will, and you are doing it. It's happening. So keep up the good work, okay?
Thank you very much for your messages. Happy Thanksgiving, and in your prayers, send me some help, angelical help for resources so I can start on the road. And I'll see you when I get to California.
Oh, I would love that. Okay, I'll do that.
I love that.
Okay, big hug.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, callers, 347-539-5122. Press 1 on pound 1. Tamara, woo, heaven bumps all over, feeling the lightning up for Deanna. I felt it too. This amazing light coming in. Oh, by the way, another thing, we're going to get to the next caller, but I had a little thought this morning out of my meditation that this coming year, I would like to take Awakenings with Michelle Mache, Awakenings with all of you, Awakenings podcast, a little on the road. But I'm going to leave it up to you callers. I'll find a way to get there. And depending, you know, you listener callers, participants, because you're not just listeners, you're co-creating this with me. And maybe we'll start first local. But if we can get a group of people together, I will come down and we'll do a live show with guests, whether they are in person or call in, and we'll have a panel, you know, or maybe do a live and do a live event around it. I'd love to connect with more of you, see more of you, you know, share and shine with more of you. And I thought, oh, this would be kind of fun, you know, or put an event around it. So I'm going to leave it. Anybody have any ideas, suggestions, what they would envision with this? I'm very open, not having any preconceived, which is big for me because I like to plan. I get a big idea person. But I'm going to leave it up to you. And let me know. Email me at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com with your thoughts, your ideas, what you'd like to do, what you envision, you know, what would be helpful, supportive of you, for you, what would be fun. You know, let me know. And also, we haven't done this a while, let me know where and how you've been listening to Awakenings with Michelle Mache. Where have you been listening to this podcast and how? You know, I remember when we did this a few years ago, I was just blown away by some people listening while they're riding their bike, some people listening while they're mowing the lawn, you know, vacuuming, some people driving around in their car, some people on the stereo, or with, I don't know, Precor or whatever, elliptical. All the different ways. At work, one guy, I love it, he works in the tech world, he works on a computer all day, young kid, 22, 25, listened with a hoodie. He put the earbuds in his ear and he listened with a hoodie while he was programming. So some in the chat, however it is, I'd love to hear it. Just let me know at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com. All right. Let's get to 813-361.
What?
Mike Mozart.
Hello. You're on air.
Oh, hello.
813-361, that's you. Hi, welcome. You're on air.
Hi. Thank you.
Hi. You're welcome. What's your first name?
Khadijah.
Say it again.
You could just say
Khadijah?
D. That's easier. Yeah, well, but you can just say D. Uh-huh. Khadijah.
Khadijah. Got it. Khadijah. That's pretty. Okay.
Yeah.
Hi, Khadijah. Welcome.
Thank you.
So,
I've always wanted to talk, and I'm usually at work. I'm one of those people, so it's great to connect live.
Yeah,
I usually listen to you in my garden, and so it's kind of odd to actually be speaking live. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. I love it. I love it when people have been listening for a while in various ways, like you're listening in the garden. Now you can listen live. That's great.
Yeah. So I just have a question. I have, bye, ladies. No, you guys don't need it. I'm sorry. My daughters are very inquisitive. They're supposed to be going to get their nails done. See you, ladies. I'm sorry.
Bye, ladies. You can listen at the nail salon.
That's right. They probably will, too. I'm hoping you can help me figure something out. I have someone in my life who has kind of resurfaced that is very familiar to me. Like, you know, I knew him in high school, and then he's very familiar to me now. Like, I mean, we've talked and we've connected and, you know, talked usually through social media. But there's something about him that is just familiar in a way that, like, almost transcends this lifetime, and it just seems kind of odd. So I thought if I could ever get on to talk to Michelle Mache, I would ask about this.
Yeah. Okay. There's something very familiar.
Yeah. It's almost like I know him in a way that's beyond this lifetime, if that makes any sense.
Oh, no, that does. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's see what it is. Can you give me his first name, please?
Brian,
okay.
Mm-hmm. Khadijah and Brian have. Okay, is he kind of tall?
Yeah.
Is he kind of a bigger guy? Yeah, okay, he is big. Okay. Let's see. I definitely get with him. Do you feel like brotherly, sisterly kind of thing with him?
No, it's something more than that, which is why it's so odd.
Okay, but do you feel like a connection? I don't mean like, I guess that's kinship. I guess brother, sister is the wrong word. There's a magneticness to him, but there's also a soft, if you got to know him more, deeper. It hasn't really gone there yet, has it?
Well, kind of, just in
kind
that
of,
we talk a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, but not, okay. Because I feel that there's a real strong kinship. I feel if you could explore this relationship more, you would see many facets, like protector, lover, brother, sister, in the sense that you could, it's like two sisters, two brothers. You could say anything, you know, sometimes
mm-hmm.
like confidant, that kind of kinship. You know, like some couples that I've worked with for many, many years, you know, they've been married many, many years. Sometimes they've told me that there's not just love. There's all these different, they know when to mother, how to mother, father. But this kind, I call it a fricky fracky, like, you know, two best buddies, two best friends that you can tell everything with. And sometimes people have that mm-hmm. in a sisterly, you know, brotherly relationship. Where would you like to take this?
Well, we can't take it anywhere because we're both married, but it's just
married.
This, it's like this draw between us.
But you can. Where do you want to go with it? The draw is the past life connection. Here's the thing, though. You're bringing up something very important, and that's why I said brotherly, sisterly. We don't have yet in our gosh, and I learned this a long time ago, and it's in advanced metaphysics. I'm so glad you, Khadija, you brought this up. We don't have in our society, they have it in with more indigenous cultures. We definitely get it in shamanic work or shamanic training. We don't have in our kind of Western civilization, and definitely in the Americas, the understanding that you can have attraction, such a strong philosophy, and so that's why the guides are correcting me, the sisterly, brother, sister, okay, because that's really what it is, and that's why it's not manifest. Aha! Okay, guys, you got me. Okay, that's why. So, Khadija, here's the thing. And unless people are going to be, you know, polygamous, polyamorous, whatever that is, you know, that's if that's their thing and they're going to have multiple partners, that's one thing. I'm not saying you're trying to do that, but I just want to put that disclosure out to people that, okay, if that's what you want to do consciously, fine. But for most people that don't want to do that, you're married or you're in a coupled relationship, there's going to be attraction. Or you're not married or you're not coupled. Not everybody that we have that attraction for, is it actually sexual? It comes through the reproductive. It comes through, it's kundalini energy. It comes through that. And, you know, years ago when I worked with a lot of couples and I did a lot of workshops and retreats, we would have this discussion and people would sometimes say, oh, my God, I met this guy or I met this girl, and we're so attracted. There's this energy between us. It's just flowing, and I want to be with it. It's sexual. That is astral energy. It's coming from the astral plane. It connects into the emotional body, which our emotions are directly tied in with survival mechanisms. It's tied into the lower chakra, especially with the second and the third, right? So sometimes we have an intense attraction with somebody because they so get us, you know. And I've even had women that are not gay that said, oh, my God, I felt, you know, in my genitals, I felt this tingling, like I wanted to be with her. And I said, no. You just feel, because the ultimate connection for everyone is, you know, tantric. It's the sex. It's the etheric. When you have that orgasm, boom, there you are. It's you know, kind of a facsimile of the oneness. You know, you can get that in meditation as well. But so what I feel with you, where you want to take it as a friend, see, I feel if you were together, even if it wouldn't last. It's not, that's why I said earlier, before I could think about it and interpret, it really is brotherly, sisterly. But it's coming through the second chakra. It's from the third, but it's actually coming through the second chakra. So even if you weren't married, oops, sweetie, can you stop moving around? Because I can't. Okay, good.
Oh, I'm
even
sorry.
Because everybody can hear it on air. So even if you were uncoupled, you weren't married, and you got together, I don't see that it would necessarily last. So you have to decide what you want to do with it, you know, what kind of friendship. And one thing that can help is when you feel that energy, that attraction, breathe it up and out through the crown. You know, do some meditations, whether separately or together, where you're connecting up from the seventh, eighth, not up, the upper chakras. Yeah?
Wow. That is, wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I knew if I called you, I knew it.
Yeah,
wow.
And I'm glad you pulled in because I, you know, it's been a while, but I've worked with quite a few people that have had this going on. And by the way, let me tell you something. I've had a couple of clients a while back, none of them current, but that actually did dilly-dally out of the marriage, and the other thing just faded away or blew up, or it didn't happen. Because what keeps us together is values, principles, and beliefs on the earth plane. You know, we can't, like one of my teachers used to say, wow, that's a soul, you guys got a great soul connection. That's a soul, your soul brothers and sisters, your soul lovers. What's always good in the spirit realm or soul realm doesn't always translate into everyday living or life. But those feelings are going to be there, and that means past life, astral connection, you're connected not just on the spiritual plane, but the astral plane. So breathe it on up, baby. Breathe it on up.
That makes so much sense. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Really appreciate it.
You are so, so very welcome. Much peace. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Mm.
Woo! Great, great question. Thank you, Khadija. Okay. Hello, 310-995. Hello, 310-995. You're on Awakening. You're on.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Welcome.
Krista.
Hi. Hey, Krista, welcome.
Hi. I'm doing your daily om, and I love it.
Oh,
really helps me.
Oh, good, good. I forgot to plug that. Daily Om, navigate your greatest soul shift on dailyom.com for those of you that want more support. So cool. Chapter? What are you on? What are you doing? What chapter?
I'm doing great because I'm doing your daily om. I love it. It's really helped me get through a lot of things in my life recently. And, you know, I went through this breakup and he moved out and he's living in San Francisco. And we're still,
kind of hanging out a little.
We were so connected a lot, but now he's kind of just, you know, shut down on me and doesn't want to talk or have any sort of connection with me at all. And I just kind of want to know, like, where he's at and why he's feeling that and why he needs to shut me out of his life.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I get that I need to move on to my own.
Yeah, but the whole thing I get with this guy is there's a lot of, and I spoke about this at the beginning of the program, if people aren't going to work on their stuff, we can't work on it for them. He's got a lot of emotional issues around the family and specifically his mother. So...
Yes.
He feels crowded. And I don't know if there's a brother involved or a really good male friend, but I don't feel he's, like, getting the best advice or support. I feel like you're taking over where you guys could have potentially done together, which is be individuated and empowered. So psychologically, as well as on a soul level, when we individuate, we become our individual selves. We connect to our uniqueness, our gifts, our talents. You know, at some process in the individuation process, we're able to, you know, you have to get angry at your parents, hate them, this, that, and go process grief up, down. And then you come out of it and you go, oh, I see why they did this, why they're this way. I'm a little like my mom, I'm a little like my dad. That's okay. I'm changing this pattern, that, I'm doing this. He needs to do that. He is so in the soup, Krista. He is so in the soup emotionally. And you are kind of like, you're doing the daily om course. Oh, I'm going to do this. We could do that. And why don't you do that? And let's go here. And da, 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 da. And he is in the place of the horrible place that I wish no one to be at. When you start on a path, you awaken a little bit, and then you go backwards. It's so painful, so uncomfortable. But let me tell you,
and it's hard to see.
It's hard to see. But the thing is, I told someone the other day, I wouldn't be as far along as I am unless I have support. You can't do it on your own. You have to have people that have similar values to uplift you and that are doing the same process. That's what's going on. Leave him be. He'll come back around 2-3 months. He doesn't know. He's like, do I go forward in my life? Do I separate out and find my own way? Or do I stay back in this family drama and friends, this kind of frat boy kind of mentality?
Yeah, it's really sad. Yeah, it's really sad because I know he doesn't really talk to anybody about his feelings. Maybe his brother, but his brother's still not where enlightened to give him that, you know, he's stuck as well. And it's that stagnant place where you become, you know, you're not growing. You're just stagnant.
Believe me, I have someone close to me right now with that, and it is one of the most horrible things to go through. But if somebody is stuck or stagnant, you can nudge a little bit, but you've got to give them space because part of what's part of what's happening is that you have been moving more forward, and you're more comfortable with your clip of speed, and he's not there yet. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think talking to me is a huge trigger for him to not.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh,
it's
totally.
Just like, oh,
totally.
hurt, danger, danger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. It's triggering him. But see, it's actually a positive trigger. The thing is, if he was working with a therapist, life coach, somebody, mentor, teacher, they could say, hey, that's a positive trigger. That's actually showing you where you need to go, you know. But since he's not, he's getting the reflection, hey, dude, just leave, you know, you got to move on, you know. Why do you want to do that? You're not there, you know.
Yeah, don't talk to her. Why would you hang out with her? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So you know what's going on. You do know it. You just have to work with the emotions of it.
Right.
You know, and that's hard.
It's hard because I see how good he could be, and it's just like he's not. He's just constantly pushing it away, and it's really sad.
Yeah,
you somebody
just
care
to,
about
you talk,
push that away.
Absolutely, absolutely. You have to give space. I would say do my daily own course, get yourself a guide to the I Ching by Carol K. Anthony, and do it day by day, step by step. Just you're going to have to let it process through.
Yeah, because all I'm doing is just working on myself, and it's so great.
Yeah.
You know, to like, you know, work on yourself and release those roles, you know, that don't work for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where you're at. Yeah. That's a powerful chapter, releasing the roles that no longer work for you.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. And I also listened to on YouTube your forgiveness and meditation as well. That has been so helpful. But I say every day when I start feeling that, you know, it's great. So I thank you for getting me to where I am in a short period of time.
You are so welcome. I'm going to have to redo that. It's on Light Being 21 channel. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Krista, for calling in. That's helping so many
people
that you called in. Big hug.
Thank you. Of course.
Okay. I don't know what happened in the chat. People got bounced out. Let me know, Jay Brave, I'm waiting for you. I've got a phone number for you, but I'm not seeing you yet call in on that. So maybe you're calling in at 1. You know, or you can text me, or let's see, Sadie, let me just check on if I've got any messages. Nope. Okay, let's go to our next caller, which is it Queen? It's a private number. Maybe it's says 11111 Skypey.
Hello,
you're on air.
Hi, this is Jenna.
Hi, Jenna. Welcome to the program. What's your question?
Hi. I have a question. What's supposed to come up for me, or in general and specifically in relationship life?
Okay. And what's coming up general, like what kind of general? What kind of general? Relationship. Let's start with that. What's coming up? As far as drawing somebody in?
Yeah.
Well, I get one thing. I get some focus on the finances right now, feeling limited with the finances. And what are your learnings right now, learning lesson, learning focus, is to see yourself as your own resource. And to look at your gifts, your talents, and how you want to use those. And how do your natural gifts or what you like to do, how can you use that in your life? So it's showing you're wanting more fulfillment. To receive money on a monetary level with something that you love more doing. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that's the biggie for you. I think February is looking better for you as far as relationship. Your key really right now is focusing on you.
Okay.
And, focusing on you and getting your life, your career, so to speak, going, focusing on your art, making your gifts, your talents work for you. Also being more aligned to your beliefs, your true nature. So you have just a little bit of work to kind of get clear on what you're about and what you want to do, and then that's when I see the relationship coming in.
Okay.
Okay? All right. Thanks for calling in. Great question, Jenna. Thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, we got another little Skypey here, 1111. You're on air. You're on Awakenings with Michelle Mache.
Hey.
Jay-ray.
I like that. That's it sounds like Skypey. That's very endearing. It makes me feel small, though, but maybe that's just me projecting.
You're projecting Skype. I call it Skypey. I don't know why. Skypey. Yeah.
That's okay. That's okay. You're having fun. That's good.
Yes.
So
yes.
Good to be on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really interested in the. You used to do youth work.
Did I? Well, actually, yes, I did. But our guests who are waiting to come on air did as well. But I did used to work with at-risk youth. I worked with children in schools, and then children in facilities, etc. So, and teaching meditation in schools, kind of as a way to de-escalate conflict. And kind of help people at home as well. So what's your first name?
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, this is Andrew calling from Africa.
Oh, welcome, Andrew, from Africa. Love
yeah,
it.
So
okay, cool.
It's kind of interesting to me because I feel like we need to have almost like a you just said, meditation and rehabilitation for community leaders because. Ultimately, through manipulation, our entire society has been skewed in this direction of exploitation on some kind of really very sad sort of prison system, like a ladder that people are climbing up, but in the wrong direction in general. Because, instead of optimization for, greater equity, I don't think there'll ever be complete equity, but greater mm-hmm. equity in our societies, where we all seem to be going in the opposite direction. And mm-hmm. I mean, that plays into our very most base instincts, but ultimately we're destroying, our ecosystem because of it. It's almost as if you kind of have to be a psychopath in order to succeed on one level or another. And the more of a psychopath that you are, the more you'll succeed in terms of resource accumulation. But then at the same mm-hmm. time, we're missing the true value in our lives because of the imbalance. So, how do we get our community? One of the interesting questions I wanted to pose to you, if you'd like to try and maybe discuss it a bit on the show, is
okay.
how do we find a way to either create new leaders or perhaps influence existing leaders or become leaders to change the structure of our societies? Because, like you mentioned, at-risk youth, etc., those youth wouldn't mm-hmm. be at risk in the first place, and
yes.
they wouldn't even be necessarily in the form of public school that they find themselves in if somebody had taken the time to notice that public schools, by and large, in the westernized world, were created simply to be able to create slave labor workforce, in essence meaning
yeah.
the debt slavery,
right.
is what I'm referring to, which
okay.
isn't optimal for humanity, for innovation.
Right.
As
great point and great focus to look at. So here's my take on it and understanding from what I know and what I've intuitive and channeled is that the old paradigm has been based on debt slavery. There is a new paradigm that is being co-created. There is a turning point. I mean, in the late 80s, we had the harmonic convergence, where the harmonizing principle started to take place. In order to have debt slavery, you have to have an overemphasis on separation, or the other is not good or not as worth as much, or my life is worth more. And you even would hear this, and you still hear it now, but you would hear it, I would say more pre-2005. Well, they don't give as much. They don't make as much money, so they're not helping the economy as much, So we need, it's a trickle-down theory, you get to do more at the top because people at the top can do more. So, yes, we have had societies based on debt, power over. Now we're in the converging flow out of the awakening process. We went from the harmonization, harmonic convergence, into the converging flow where everything is happening all at once. People are waking up, but this, people are becoming more awake, more aware, saying, I want more, autonomy. This is where you see the idea of trading, that it's not just for special people, but anybody can become a trader. They've got their laptop, the Wall of China, things collapsing there where, people could, make money. It's not just for the government, but you can have, make your own. I visited China, and it was amazing to see, some people, country people would have just four or five literally cans of soda in a little stand. That's all they had, but they were going to sell that for a dollar, you know, and they didn't have to give anything to the government. So there is a predominant, there is a change that's happening, slow but sure, but it starts with us individually, and it trickles out from how we live our life, how we affect our family, our friends, community, neighborhoods, on and on and on. Because the systems will not change unless the individuals basically stop playing the game, stop saying, and
exactly.
It can be small, right? It can be small ways, Andrew. It can be, don't, I love my devices. I'm a techie. I'm a mystic tech. I've got computers, various devices, recording equipment. I love all. But one thing people can do is stop racing to wait in long lines and sleep overnight just to get that damn phone, that iPhone. I love iPhone, but you see what I'm saying? It's consciousness. You don't have to be the first, the best, the first. You don't have to have it all, because that's how they keep us trapped in the Western part, you know, is
well,
like,
I also feel
convenient.
That, you know, one of the things that frustrates me, and I mean, you do mention convenience, which is a huge part of it, but, you know, what also frustrates me is I could say to a friend of mine or people that are close to me or whoever it might be that's available, you know, we really should be focusing on building an alternative, to take it to its nth degree, to the final result, an alternative system of monetary exchange. And, you know, the average person will immediately dismiss it because they say, well, you know, but it's so complex. It's so complex. And it's like, well, actually not as complex as you might think. For example, if Elon Musk, you know, I bet that he went to a bunch of different companies initially and said, you know, would you like to fund us to create what became PayPal? And like with Google, they tried to sell it to their technology to a bunch of companies. And everybody was like, no, we don't need to have faster searches. you know, and then obviously that was what the faster search algorithm and the better search algorithm is what they built their technology on. And now they're one of the biggest organizations, corporations in the world.
Yeah.
And it's sad because, you know, how do you deal with that, especially as someone who's entrepreneurial, where I'm trying to reach out to different people, but at the same time, you've got different mindsets. So the average person out there is one of two groups. They're either going to be not interested because they've got their own agenda, like, well, I'm just doing my 9-to-5 and I don't want to, you know, I don't really want to try and create any solutions for humanity because my time is so precious. Or the people are in another camp, which is, how can I exploit the idea that you're bringing forward, not for us to work together, but for me to take that idea, slightly reformat it so it doesn't become a freedom tool, but it becomes something which creates a better mousetrap for me to be able to get to the top of the
pyramid. And that's what happened with Bitcoin. Okay, so here's the thing, because we've got my guest is on, I just now see.
Sure.
It still goes back to us individually, and I work a lot of different ways. You don't want to say barter because you can be taxed for that. But when I got audited and I worked with somebody, they asked me, well, what is this person working for you? And I said, oh, no, they help me. I help them. So you still go back to us individually that I open the platform of how I'm going to work differently and structure my, you know, my exchange. It's not just monetary. How am I going to do my life? And then I not only am open to but seek out people that are similar. And when you do that enough, you actually draw people that are more and more similar, and then you get more and more off the main grid. We're not yet at the level where you can completely get off it, unless you're really going to, you know, go off the grid. But it's an unplugging where you can unplug. It's getting out of the sticky glue, but it really comes back to the individuals. How are you going to do it, and who can you bring along? And then that gets into communities as well. You know, but I'll be honest, because like there's certain spiritual communities, and I don't want to call anybody out, but some that people live in, there's always going to be those, unfortunately, that there's drama, emotional drama, because they're not doing their inner work, their emotional work, and there's those that are going to take advantage. There's those that are going to say, kumbaya, this is great, but then they say, oh, I can tweet it, you know, tweak it, rather, and make it my idea and something just for me. So that, I always say with that, you know, there's a metaphysical principle, you out-create it. You out-create the problem. You out-create it. You see it, you take it, you don't focus, you know, you notice it, but then you look for the next level of expansion. And if you keep looking for that next level, if you're open to that, then whatever the other people were doing is obsolete, becomes obsolete, especially now that we're co-creating this new paradigm. A lot of stuff will fall by the wayside because the new paradigm is dictating less and less of the constructed or false ego, you know, usury creations. It's saying, hey, the energetic motion is saying, hey, is this good not just for you, but 3, 4, 5, 10 people, more people? Is this good for the community? Is this good for, is this good for the predominant flow? So that's all happening. I'm glad you called it. Call back again. I mean, I love what you had to share. You opened up a great dialogue. You know, call in a little earlier, we'd have more time. But yeah, you're on the right track. It's just, you know, don't, you know, I know it gets, you know, frustrating, can sometimes be depressing, but hang in there. You are on the right track, and it's just about getting more people on board. But they are there, you know. And our guest coming up on air is one of them as well.
Thanks very much.
You're so welcome. Much peace. Great, great, great question. Great input on that. Love that kind of stuff. Love that. All right. So as I shared at the top of the program, we have Jay Brave with us, MC, poet, and activist for peace. His amazing gift and ability is to bring people together for the greater good. He's a former youth counselor for homeless and at-risk youth. He's now one of the three vocalists of the brand Luminaries and has toured the world spreading messages of unity, love, and empowerment through the vehicle of hip-hop. Jay Brave produces a weekly conscious club night titled The Luminous Movement at Zanzibar in Santa Monica, California, where partygoers come to celebrate with intention and are treated to some of the best music from artists in the festival culture. He's also the CEO of Lou Fam Pro, which is the band's rapidly evolving label and production company. He is visioning a large-scale festival called Benevolence to expand the mission and further enhance the constant message of unconditional love and service. Jay Brave is also currently in production with a solo project called Hip Hop Bodhisattva, as well as the group's next album titled Seconds of Solace to be released soon. And I can tell you, you know, having gone to Luminous Movement, he's a curator of some amazing talent and musicians as well, world renowned from around the world. I mean, I've seen some amazing, amazing bands, DJs, MCs, and musicians there. And a lot of times we just have this amazing, amazing love fest. He's also involved in documentaries, and also on the horizon is a documentary film called When the People Lead, about the collective's travel through Palestine and Israel. So I want to welcome to the program, Jay Brave.
Hey, how's it going, gentlemen?
Hey, welcome. We did it. Yay. Yeah, oh, we got somebody in the chat, Info 90. I don't know if it's the guy that called. Andrew, is that you? I would love to get in touch regarding youth development here in Africa, especially through hip-hop. And then Tamara put, go to luminariesmusic.com. Yeah, what's the best way to reach you, Jay Brave?
Yeah, that's probably the best way. I administer the website, so you can email me there, and also information about our music is up there, and the crowdfunding campaign that we're running for the next 11 days is on there as well. Luminariesmusic.com.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so luminariesmusic.com. If you have questions for Jay Brave, want to check out his music. Also, as Andrew is asking in the chat, wanting to get in touch in regards to youth development in Africa through hip-hop. I love it. Woo, we're on fire today connecting people. This is great. So, Jay Brave, let's just, for our listeners, because a lot of times I get, in fact, Andrew was saying, how do we help? What do we do? Where do we start? You know, how did you get involved with what you're doing now? What was, I want to ask a two-parter. What was your awakening, your first awakening that says, I got to do more? And then how did you start doing now?
Hmm? Yeah, totally. You know, I think for me, it before the projects began and, you know, the working with the kids and the music that I'm doing now and the different events and whatnot, you know, in 2001, I was literally just looking at the map and I was like, I want to take a trip. And me and my little brother want to go somewhere. He's about a year and a half younger than me. And he's like, wanted to go to Egypt, man. Like, let's go see the pyramids. And so we kind of came to consensus that we wanted to go to see the pyramids and, you know, one of the 8 wonders of the world and whatnot. And so
right.
we went out there, and, you know, it was July, which was kind of a mistake because it was about 110 degrees in the summertime in Egypt. So it was extremely hot. You know, we kind of had to kind of maintain staying in the hostel where we're staying at until daybreak because, or until like dusk because it was just so hot to even leave. And, you know, of course, we'd leave to get food and stuff, but it was just really extremely hot, like literally over 110 degrees. But to make a long story shorter, you know, my experience being out there for about 3 weeks in Egypt and visiting various cities, including Alexandria and Cairo, of course, and, you know, Dahab and different parts of the region, I was just really moved on a spiritual level by just seeing the pyramids. I literally just kind of fell to my knees after taking a camel ride into the desert, kind of the secret way in, with some locals, and just like saw it and just like literally went to my knees like in awe. Because it was just so beautiful to me of what we can create as human beings. And I just kind of had an experience of oneness, an experience of feeling a connection to everything. And I really look at that moment as being like the first time beyond just intellectually understanding what, you know, mm-hmm. oneness was, or like, you know, the connection we have with God or Source, just feeling something divine within me. And that to me really started my journey of just exploring more. So when I came home, my heart was really cracked open, so to speak.
Wow. What do you feel cracked it open? What was your defining moment of that?
I think for me, just being so far away from home, and for the first time mm-hmm. being so far away, being in Africa, being someone who's of, you know, African American descent and stepping in Africa, I think there was some connection there. And just seeing the majesty of that space. Maybe there's some past life, or I don't know, maybe some deeper connection I have with specifically Egypt in that region. But I know it just felt like a feeling that I have never felt before, and really beautiful and emotional. So I just feel, I don't know, as a young person, I was about 21 at the time. It was about 2 months before the whole 9/11 thing happened, or 2 or 3 months. I don't know if there's any significance to that specific year for me, obviously for all of us. But that really just, yeah, I think the experience of going out there, and it's very, you know, very arduous, and it was a journey, and we're on train, and, you know, we're traveling in buses, and it was very much like a cultural shock. And I was really deeply moved by, you know, the country's 90% Muslim, and I was deeply moved with how loving and kind and beautiful the Muslim people are, despite what we get from Western media about, you know, all this happening now even. It's like, I was there, and I experienced only love, people opening their doors and being extremely kind and hospitable. And, of course, when we went to Palestine, I'll talk about that in a minute, but I felt the same thing, extreme hospitality and love from the Muslim community and people there, Islamic community.
Yeah, they're rituals. I have a really, 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 really good friend that's Muslim, and I went to her wedding years ago, and it was the most, I mean, actually was a part of it, the symbolism, that it was the most beautiful wedding I have ever been to. And the articles, sacred articles that they get that have certain meanings, and then it was just, I mean, you know, of course we've got Hafez and Rumi from there, right? So, some pretty amazing philosophies with that love as well. So that was the turning point. What did you start doing then? So what happened? You had this awakening, and it sounds like awakening and heart opening. I mean, the awakening was coming to the heart and feeling so connected.
Totally. So when I came back, you know, I started working on, you know, getting back into school and, you know, just kind of focusing on what I want to do. And it was interesting because, like, you know, I literally remember a time where I was, like, feeling the intention after the resonance of that trip, and even sometime, you know, there in that moment and on the plane and coming home, that I wanted to explore this part of me that wanted to make music, you know? And I literally came up with the name, like, almost serendipitously, just, if I recall correctly, like, just flipping through, like, a dictionary and looking at words, and that name, luminaries, just popped out, like, wow, what does that mean? Like, and I looked at it, and it said those who you know, those who inspire, those a body of light, basically. And so the idea was set in my heart that I wanted to create a group called Luminaries. And sometime later, many years later, I met this brother named Free Will, who became one of my closest friends in the world. And we started, playing basketball together, creating a bond. You know, he got me a job working with homeless and at-risk youth in L.A. And, we started to make music at some point, and I shared with him that name, and it kind of became the mantra, and we moved forward. And, like, after that, like, people started coming into the group. Like, we met this other MC in the group, which was Amori One, and we had another MC named Truth Eye. He started his own project, but he was a part of the crew. And then we attracted the full band. So it was interesting how I feel that whole trip to Egypt kind of created the inspiration of the group when I got home. And then I knew the name before I met the people, and then the people came. And so it's interesting how people sometimes, you know?
Uh-huh. So it's kind of like, so it's interesting, you had the luminaries, so you were drawing luminaries to you, lights to you. It sounds like in their own world, coming together. And then what was the focus of the music? Has it always been uplifting? Because I've seen you guys perform. I mean, I remember sometimes it was the meditations, people were hugging each other. I mean, it's just so amazing. And, of course, the lyrics are so uplifting. Did you start out like that? Was this a vehicle of choice for your heart opening and awakening?
You know, I think when me and Free, you know, we were working together with as full-time youth counselors in L.A., as many of you may know, Los Angeles has the biggest homeless population in the nation for any major metropolis or any city at all. And we were specifically working with youth between ages of 14 and 24. Young people that are on the street, like living in abandoned buildings, some of the kids are prostituting, unfortunately. Some of the kids, of course, having drug habits, in and out of gangs, and you know, oftentimes we see adults in the street and sometimes we walk over them literally or energetically, and we forget that probably 9 out of 10 homeless adults started off as homeless kids, and they were running away or being ousted from their family or their homes for really terrible reasons. Like, we would hear the worst stories in the world, like young people that were molested by their parents or in gang activity, or maybe, you know, a kid was gay and they were ousted by their family. They didn't want them to be a part of their family anymore because of that choice. And so, you know, we hear the worst stories. And I think when we were working there, myself and Free, you know, we really were just deeply committed and connected to that particular community and wanted to make music that maybe could inspire them. So we had many conversations about, wow, if we can make music and get this out to the world, we might be able to touch more people and more young people and more people in general with music than we could ever touch with day-to-day doing work as a counselor, you know? And so the intention I feel with working at my friend's place, which was a drop-in center in Hollywood that still exists, was to try to create music that would initially inspire them and uplift them. And I feel like, you know, that created the foundation for us, the intention for us. And we've basically been carrying that out ever since. Like, even though we don't currently do the youth work as we used to do because we're kind of focused predominantly more on our musical endeavors and touring, the intention still remains, and we're still trying to make fun, danceable, you know, great music, but also with good intention behind it through hip hop.
Well, you can definitely feel it. You can definitely feel the intention, and then plus the lyrics. And you know, the thing is, when you are dancing, you are singing the lyric song. You are singing. You know, it's coming in you, but a lot of times you're singing, and if it's catchy, you know, it's like a mantra. It's an affirmation you're saying to yourself. You know, so it's, might as well pick a good one. You know, might as well pick a life enhancing one, right?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah, just creating those affirmations. And, you know, for us, we were going to Agape. Like, you know, the group was created 10 years ago. And, you know, Agape Spiritual Center in LA with Reverend Michael Beckwith was really a good space for us, too, to kind of begin our practice and start to grow internally and start to apply some of the things we share in the music. And it definitely helped us to create a additional insight through our lyrics.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. You know, that's something we haven't come. I used to teach meditation. I developed their Meditation for Everyday Living off of my book and companion CD, and taught metaphysical classes, spiritual classes there. We might have been there around the same time. Yeah, definitely is. So you're in this, and you do tour, right? You bring your, because I know you were out of town for a while back, and what kind of places do you normally play? What do you look for? Are you open to?
You know, I think just the same way that, like, you know, spiritual principles work, like what you put out, you receive. So I think based upon what we're omitting from our physical and energetic bodies and our mouths and our words, we often get, you know, inquiries about us playing at a lot of these transformative festivals like Lightning in a Bottle. You know, we went to Bali, Indonesia, played Bali Spirit Festival. We played the Synthesis event in Chichen Itza, Mexico with the Mayan Pyramids Rat for 2012, which was a very special event for us to be at. You know, we played at Harmony Fest, Earth Dance, Beloved Festival. We get booked a lot of those type of transformative events, a lot of yoga events. We do play hip-hop events, too, especially when people really see that we're trying to bring back that kind of golden era of hip-hop where it's about bringing people together in community and unity and whatnot. So, you know, I think always for all types of artists and people, depending on what you're expressing and what you're energetically omitting, you will attract opportunities that are, you know, connected to that same vibration. So that tends to be where we kind of come to play. And I think it all came to be for us to go out to the Middle East, you know, back in 2011 when we put out our album. His brother from an organization called Citizen Diplomacy Initiatives, a part of Citizen Diplomacy Initiatives, part of Sister Cities International, which is a bigger umbrella. He saw our music video for our song Be the Change with Trevor Hall and was really moved by the experience of what he saw and was like, hey, I'm putting together a peace delegation, which includes a music teacher, an art teacher, the mayor of Gainesville, a few political figures, and we'd love you to come join us and share your music on this experience for 2 weeks. And so it was beautiful to do that shortly after we put out our debut album called One. And we were able to go out there, play for universities. We played for kids in schools, a couple of youth centers. We performed for, you know, some political officials on the street even and some clubs in Tel Aviv. It's a very diverse cultural experience for us to share music, connect with people. And that whole experience was filmed. And that's what we're accumulating into now, which we're about 11 days away from our crowdfunding project and about $10,000 short to complete this documentary film. And we're in that process in this exact moment.
Okay, so now where can people go to help? And this is When the People Lead, right?
Yeah, the project's called When the People Lead. It's basically the intention of the film is to show what we experience out there and hopefully build some bridges of understanding and peace and love for those two communities and really throughout the world and just show how people-to-people interactions can surpass any political agendas or any, you know, government, you know, things that are getting in the way of these peaceful connections because we often just see what we see on the news. But much like the Berlin Wall, when that happened and that fell down, it was the people that stood up and decided the time has come for this to end. And it was the people who literally broke down that physical barrier and created the connection through Germany. So we want to, in the same way, like, show that, you know, we can all make a difference. We can go out to places, we connect with people. And the project's called When the People Lead. We're fundraising for it right now. We can, you can go on, you know, our website to check it out, luminariesmusic.com. And, of course, it's on Indiegogo. If you want to search When the Luminaries, it'll pop right up. And, yeah, like I said, we're about 11 days away, and we're trying to complete that project.
And that's luminariesmusic.com?
Correct.
Okay. So amazing what you – oh, and I love Trevor Hall, by the way. So that was, that's so cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, another amazing. I love what you said because it also answers a question that a caller had that called in, again, what we can do. When you're saying when the people lead, it is us. I mean, a lot of times people are waiting for someone out there or the president, the government, the structures, you know, which they have very little impetus, motivation to make the big changes because the structure's working for them. Even if they don't like it, they're in it and they're getting their money from it, you know, their kudos or whatever, validation. But what I'm hearing you saying, it is these individuals individually and collectively coming together that is actually creating the positive change.
Well, it seems to be like, when you look in history, it's generally the only thing that it ever has. You know, when you see like a great shift in some sort of social, political, or communal way, you know, like the Boston Tea Party, people were fighting against taxes. The Civil Rights Movement chose to unify in the streets And what I love about Martin Luther King and Gandhi on a personal level, they're great mentors for me on my path, is like, instead of looking at it like they were against the police or against the government or against the system, I look at it more like they were just standing and exemplifying what they wanted to see in the world. Like Gandhi says, be the change you wish to see. So when you look at Martin Luther King walking with different religions in Selma, like Christians and Jews, and like holding hands with nuns and white people and black people, and that, he was exemplifying the vibration of unity, peace, and love, and singing songs about that as well. So it's not that he was against the police, per se. I look at it more like he was just in a powerful, emphatic way standing in the vibration of what he was declaring and decreeing to be. And despite the challenges and the forces and the hatred and the racism and everything that was against them at that moment, he was like, let me just stand powerfully in love. And as crazy as that sounds, and sometimes cliche, it can be the most revolutionary thing to do. You know, I remember one time during the Occupy movement a few years back, when that was a big thing. There was a moment where, of course, there was a huge encampment at the Los Angeles City Hall, and there was people that were encamping out down there in protest for the Occupy. And at one point I got a text like saying, hey, the police have arrived, and they're looking like they want to, extract everyone away from this encampment. Please come, tell as many people as you can. And so when I rushed out there to be out there in support of the people that were camping out. And, of course, I saw all these cops in riot gear with guns and, like, batons and masks and shields, everything. And it looks like they were getting ready to do their thing, you know. And so it was kind of frantic because some people were responding with yelling at them, and they were, like, singing these very aggressive chants. And to me, it's challenging because you're amongst a crowd of people and everyone's got different perspectives how to face this type of adversity. And so I thought to myself, what can I do to make a difference? Because I try to be, you know, stand in a loving, powerful way, but be peaceful about it versus creating conflict. And so with my small group of friends, which was about four, I was like, hey, why don't we start an Om circle and just start oming, the four of us? And so we started oming. And, like, literally, like, within about a few minutes, 2-3 minutes, like, maybe 2 or 3 people joined in. And then after 10 minutes, like, 10 people joined in. And then after, like, 15 minutes, there was, like, 50 people joining in. And it was a giant circle. Then we're all holding hands now and forming our own circle amongst everyone else doing their own thing. And then literally at some point someone was like, let's form a circle around the whole encampment of City Hall. And so literally from, like, 3 or 4 people oming, it became stretched out, like, 100 or 200, I don't know how many people, like, massive people holding hands, oming, literally creating this energetic vortex around City Hall. And to make a long story short, at some point, the cops just left. And to me, I don't know if it was that exact action that caused that, but I feel like it was a great example. Like, you can, in the crowd of anger and frustration, it's possible for us to make a difference. It's possible for us to apply our love and light in a peaceful way and make an impact, you know?
Wow. I love that story. Wow, it is possible. You're right. Instead of contributing to the chaos, being the stirring the fear up, dialing it down and going to that place where we're all connected. Wow, so powerful and inspiring. We've had somebody that's been online and has a question for you, calling from Africa.
Yeah.
Hopefully quick question, and then because we're winding out of time. Those of you that are listening in the chat, we are going to go over to overtime. You can catch the rest of it in the archive, just a minute or so. And if you're listening by phone or just computer, you'll be able to hear it. Okay, you're live. You're on Awakenings with Michelle Mache, and our guest is Jay Brave. What's your question? Is Andrew?
Hey, yeah. Thanks for having me back on the show. Yes.
Yeah.
My interest is in how.
Sorry, because we're right at the... Go ahead.
Okay. How can we mobilize people to be able to integrate in more effective ways, even just technologically? Because I see a lot of activism around, like, let's march in the streets or whatever. That's kind of like asking the slave master to kind of stop whipping us all so much. How do we get people to think more like self-reliance? I'm going to get together with, like, 20 of my friends, and we're going to build, like, I don't know, a sustainable village or something like that, like through hip hop or through, you know, I don't hear a lot of hip hop songs about building sustainable villages, for example.
Well, I'm down to write one.
I do. Yeah.
I'm down to write. I like that concept. But I'll say this, you know, there's a friend of mine, he goes by the Polish Ambassador. He's really expanding, amazing producer, DJ in the kind of electronic community, electronic dance music community. And he did a whole tour last year and even some shows this year where he did the Permaculture Action Tour. So everywhere he performed, when he was selling out like these bigger venues of 500-plus people, they were doing on the following day some sort of permaculture event that coincided with the concert. So he was like rallying fans of his to get their hands in the soil and be a part of it. And to me, what I love about that is like it's mixing his amazing fan base and his music with his passion, which is gardening and farming, and allowing people to try that in, you know, different cities. And he must have done at least 25, 30 plus cities dates. And he's still doing it this year and often when he does bigger festivals. So I think that's a good example of like,
yeah.
To me, it's like we
Very
have
cool.
to make it fun
I'm
for
gonna
people.
Yeah,
we have to make
I
it
agree.
Fun for people and make it like, an event so they feel like, wow, I want to come. I want to dance. I want to boogie. I want to have a good time. And connect the music with the artist and make some a higher intention. So, because sometimes people can feel like, well, I don't want to go to another workshop. That's boring. But it's like if
yeah.
you connect music
yeah.
with it and arts, then it's like we're connecting all these different communities and maybe the intention grows that way.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Very good answer. Thanks. And thanks, Andrew, for calling in on that. That's good. I agree. I think it's like, You have to do it all, and even Info90 is putting in the chat, connecting a holistic solution. Yes, you have to do it all. I agree. It's not just workshops. It's not just dealing with people starving or food. You know, sometimes people starving with food also just need uplifting. You know, if there's not enough food there, you know, they need to sing a song, you know. Sometimes you need more of the food. But whatever it is, I think it's whatever it is, whatever you can do, you know, and I think a huge uniting force in a way that the soul does its work is through art, self-expression, and, of course, you know, music. So, Jay Bray, we're winding out of time here. I want to let everybody know they can contact you through luminariesmusic.com. And your project, When the People Lead, the documentary film that you're doing, the Indiegogo, would they just go to Indiegogo or can they go to luminariesmusic.com? What's the best way that they can?
Yeah, the links on our luminariesmusic.com. You can also look at it directly through Indiegogo. There's also the actual trailer video pinned on our Facebook page. That's a good space if you want to go on there. And again, we only have about 10, 11 days left. We really appreciate everyone's support. It's kind of like crunch time, fourth quarter. The trailer is amazing. It's really beautiful, and we're just trying to make a difference the best way we can. And the last thing I'll say is that everyone's got an amazing gift to share in this world. We all have deeply embedded, powerful gifts, and I think this is the time really for all of us to activate them. We know there's a lot of chaos going on, and it's really our gifts, our light, our individual and collective deep expressions are going to be the ways that we overcome this challenging time and really rise up as a human species.
I love that. And you can post on my pages, too, whatever the link is also as well. Thanks, Jay Bray, for your inspiration, your wisdom, and your lightness on all this. Thank you. This has been great. Thanks for being on Awakenings.
Hey, you're welcome. Have an amazing, beautiful day.
You too. Talk to you later. All right. That was Jay Bray, part of the Luminaries Band, MC, poet. Curator of an amazing, uplifting music and inspirer in helping others live more empowered. You can find out more information about Jay Bray at luminariesmusic.com. Of course, he's getting ready to launch his program, documentary film, When the People Lead, about the collective's travels through Palestine and Israel. And you can show some love through some dollars, any way you can give, or maybe some ideas, whatever you have. The documentary film is When the People Lead, and you can go to luminariesmusic.com for more information on that as well. Happy Thanksgiving, whether you celebrate it or not, wherever you are, but you can just, I would think this time as giving thanks. I don't think of it as in the old paradigm, traditional way, although I do like mashed potatoes and stuffing and my green beans and broccoli, fresh casserole. So whatever you're doing tomorrow, the next of the week or the weekend, make sure you make some time to remember how great you are. And join us next Wednesday. We're always here every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific time. And until then, keep shining your light and keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awakening conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.